Welcome back, my lovely mutants, to the latest Mutation Station episode. I'm Mish, your chief mutant, and for today only, your supreme witch, because we're looking at witches weren't bitches, just menopausal women. If you've listened to the Mutation Station podcast, you will know that the mythology surrounding most mutations always led back to that person being a witch with supernatural powers. I doubt I would have lasted beyond my infant years. With two different coloured eyes, I probably would have been left in the woods once my eyes changed colour at 4 months of age. If I was lucky, I may have been picked up and raised by a witch living in the woods, which is why we are known as children of hags in Latvia. In this podcast, while we don't look at genetic mutations, we do look at how women mutated into being known as witches, the spellbinding link between menopause, witchcraft accusations, and even some Shakespearean magic. I love Shakespeare. So, could hot flashes, chin hairs, osteoporosis, and mood swings have sparked witch hunts? Spoiler, yes. So grab your cauldron, coffee, and let's stir this pot. When you picture a witch, what comes to mind? Wrinkled skin, wild hair, hunched back, warts and elongated, saggy facial features, mysterious herbs, and a tendency to live in isolation and wear black? Well, congratulations. You just described many menopausal women in medieval Europe and, in modern society as well. But how did normal signs of aging become linked with witchcraft? Back then, people didn't have a scientific explanation for menopause. They saw aging women with facial hair, sagging skin, and unpredictable moods as something unnatural. During this time, women were married very young, coming into their peak of beauty during marriage. But then something happens. They have 1,000 children. Then they go into menopause and aging, which people attributed to witchcraft. And according to medieval society, like those women that had, strong menopausal symptoms, the woman was always considered a witch, and so she used magic to appear young and beautiful to, bewitch her husband, only then to reveal her true form. It sounds to me like that's just an excuse for the husband to dump the aging, older woman for a younger wife, which, sounds familiar today, doesn't it? Combine all of this with religious paranoia and a deep fear of independent women, and you've got a recipe for accusations of witchcraft. So let's look at the evidence medieval societies used to brand menopausal women as witches. It's basically a list of menopause symptoms. Chin hairs and facial hair. Hormonal imbalances caused facial hair growth, especially chin hairs. Medieval folks thought these were signs of being cursed or in a league with dark forces. Wrinkled skin and age spots. In a world obsessed with youth, aging was unholy. Aging skin and a more haggard look really fit the stereotype of a witch. And that's all it took to be accused of a witch. You just had to look a little bit like one. The hot flashes. Imagine a woman suddenly turning red and sweating profusely during a religious sermon. Clearly, she was possessed by the devil or just experiencing a hot flash. Or a woman who cleverly uses herbs to combat the symptoms of menopause for herself while her counterparts do not, well, then that means she has cursed them and made them suffer while, she uses her witchy brew to not suffer. One such accusation from the Salem witch trials was that a victim felt as though she had been set on fire internally. We all know that feeling if you've ever had a hot flash. Hunched back. Witches were seen to be hunched over, a clear sign of osteoporosis, which is a major symptom of menopause. Go get your bone density checked, ladies. It's a really easy, quick scan to do. Exaggerated features, warts and wearing black. As women age, warts appear, moles become more exaggerated and larger due to the loss of collagen. They may grow hair out of the moles. Even our facial features can enlarge, like our noses and our ears. I remember my father used to have like this really fat nose, and my very sweet girlfriend just innocently told me that when I grew up that I would likely have a nose like him. And so I took to sleeping with a peg on my nose, and in the hopes that it would not make my nose so fat and splattered. And now as an adult, I'm just like, what was I thinking? I was so insecure and stupid. But anyway, I do have sinus problems because though I don't know if it's because of that, but I attribute it to that anyway. But today we have remedies for warts. Moles can be removed. We have Botox, fillers, plastic surgery, all to keep aging away. Back then, they just didn't. So visible changes like thinning grey hair or age spots were considered marks of the devil. Often those that were accused of witchcraft were widows, and in Europe, even to this day, in some countries, it's customary to wear black. So a widow that did not remarry and did not inherit any wealth, in fact, women that were wealthy were also often accused of witchcraft, so greedy relatives could claim their wealth for themselves. But for the others that were impoverished and wearing black because they were widows, they could be seen as witches. Behavioural changes, mood swings, irritability, they all come from hormonal imbalances, and they were seen as signs of being possessed or cursed. And then what about insomnia and restlessness? You know, often due to aching joints or the hot flashes, the sleep problems due to menopause made women appear unsettled or perhaps even haunted. You know, men would, you know, awaken to find their women pacing the bedroom, backlit by the moon and, doing witchy things just by being. And again, older women, especially the widows, often lived alone, making them targets for suspicion. And hot flashes, the sudden sweating and flushed skin, could be seen as signs of evil spirits being touched by the devil. The irregular bleeding, vaginal bleeding post-menopause was mysterious and feared as unnatural, linked to dark magic. They had social vulnerability, widowhood and poverty. The older woman without male protection was seen as a burden on society and an easy scapegoat. Those impoverished would likely live on the outskirts of the village or in little huts or cabins in the woods. Wearing black for the loss of their husband just gives a whole witchy vibe. And many menopausal women were knowledgeable about herbal medicine, which could be perceived as witchcraft. And with midwives, with reproductive knowledge, they were frequently accused of sorcery, especially if the childbirths went wrong, the baby died or the mother did. Just appalling. That was the thing, though. The women were knowledgeable. They had the lived experience of biology, basically. So they were knowledgeable and they were vilified for it. With the Salem witch trials, many of the accused women were older or postmenopausal, like Rebecca Nurse, 71, Martha Corey, 72. Women with real knowledge of things, you know, like they were the beacons of society. People would go to them for knowledge. I think it was Rebecca Nurse was a pillar of society. She was very wise, and they just turned against her and accused her of being a witch. The European witch hunts, 1400 to 1700, the older women were disproportionately targeted due to physical and social characteristics matching witch stereotypes. And then if we look at, around that time of the witch hunts, that's when Shakespeare wrote Macbeth. And of course, he starts the play and he starts an act with the witch's brew, and they're brewing a potion, and that's meant to be a hallucinogenic, you know, vision potion. But in fact, the witches were brewing something far more common, a potion that had actual menopausal relief benefits. So let's decode their recipe. They used eye of newt, which is mustard seed, and that boosts circulation and metabolism. Owlet's wing, which is sage leaves, that reduces hot flashes and night sweats. Adder's fork, which is snake root and black cohosh, this balances hormones and eases mood swings. Lizard's leg, which is thyme, that supports hormone regulation and immunity. Blind worm's sting, which is ginger root, and we all know ginger is anti-inflammatory for joint pain and digestion. Baboon's blood, which is hibiscus flowers, rich in antioxidants, great for heart health. Their chant, double, double, toil and trouble, fire, burn and cauldron, bubble, might have been Shakespearean magic, but their ingredients sound like a perfect menopausal relief tea. They should have chanted, double, double, toil and trouble, night sweats, rage and hormones, bubble. Take care, though, if anyone wants to actually brew this tea. Definitely do not take it if you are pregnant or breastfeeding, and if you are on medication, always, always check with your doctor if you take any herbs. They can have an adverse reaction to the medication. I take a lot of medication. I have tried this tea and it's not too bad. I didn't have any reactions to it, but of course I checked all the herbs that I am allowed to take with my medications. I did add some honey to it to just give it a bit of sweetness. It wasn't too bad. So if you do want to try that recipe, when I do a TikTok of this, I'll put up a little recipe in the video. But just be careful. Know yourself. Know what you can take, and don't go poisoning yourself by adding things or mixing things and doing yourself some harm. So I don't recommend this for any type of menopausal relief. It didn't do anything for me other than I tasted a tasty. I had a tasty tea, and you don't want to make yourself sick by mixing medications with herbs. So that's my warning. It's not a wellness thing. It was just an experiment. So I already touched on the myth of the beauty to hag, the transformation from beautiful young maiden to old hag. And menopause was seen as a mysterious, almost magical decline. Without modern solutions like anti-aging creams, Botox, plastic surgery, women age naturally. And that was terrifying to societies obsessed with youth and beauty. And like I said, like they marry children as young as 13, even younger sometimes. And so when women aged naturally, particularly when they got to their peri or menopausal years, this hag archetype even shows up like in folklore of the time. Think of fairy tales, the Wicked Witch, the stepmother in Snow White. She's beautiful, you know, and every day she wants to stay beautiful. Who's the fairest in the land? But her true form is that old hag, the crone in Hansel and Gretel, or any fairy tale villain who's both old and powerful. Aging became linked with something dangerous and women were punished for it. And you know what? It still happens today. So let's be real. Witch hunts were often about targeting the powerless. Even though the women had power in knowledge and lived in experience, in a patriarchal society, menopausal women were seen as useless or a burden. Without a husband or family, they were financially vulnerable and easy scapegoats. Take the Salem witch trials. Many of the accused were older women, as I had already mentioned, and in Europe they were disproportionately targeted. Postmenopausal women, widows, midwives, and herbalists. Their ability to see the future was just the fact that they knew their shit. They had lived experience. They had gone through what most people at that stage, you know, you die early and they remain, they stay alive, and they just new stuff. So in terms of, you know, predicting things, they could see the pattern of what happens just naturally in life. So they could say to a female, you know, this birth is going to go wrong, and it would be true. But instead of, you know, thanking them for that wisdom or being prepared or whatever, they were saying that they were cursed. You know, they could look at those people's behavior and predict what was to come. They'd been there before. Even the potion the witches of Macbeth were brewing were meant to summon visions and hallucinations, guiding Macbeth towards his doomed fate. They just knew men and the inevitable, really. They knew what was going to happen when two hotheads were going to fight for the kingdom, for the crown. So I have to say, fast forward to today, and living alone in a cabin in the woods with a bunch of cats sounds pretty amazing. You know, goals. The witchy aesthetic has been reclaimed as something empowering. Think cozy sweaters, herbal teas, and embracing nature, cats, and the sisterhood. It's basically Instagram-worthy now. And aging gracefully is trendy again. Look at the grey hair trend. Women are absolutely beautiful with their natural colours. And if someone with two tumours in her brain, I don't dye my hair because of the medication and just the chemicals and everything on the scalp. So I love that whole grey hair trend. And I love that it's trendy again. It's just, obviously, it's a good thing that it's minus the witch trials. And did you also know that being a witch is one of the fastest growing spiritual paths among modern women? Wicca and witchcraft have surged in popularity as a means of reclaiming female power and connecting with nature. From moon rituals to herbal potions, modern witches are turning ancient practices into empowering spiritual paths, this time without the threat of execution. And I've said before as well, with my different colored eyes, I don't know why, but I just feel I have a really strong intuition about people. I can peg someone as bad well before anybody else will actually discover their true nature. It's just something within me. I'll just get a really bad vibe, or I'll get a really great vibe from someone. There's sort of no in between. And I attribute that to being witchy. So were the accusers menopausal too? So of course, like what they called witchcraft was just biology. We know now that menopause comes with symptoms like the irregular bleeding, hot flashes, and mood swings. But, you know, as I said before, people thought that that was evidence of dark powers. But what if the women making witchcraft accusations were the ones experiencing menopausal symptoms but lacked access to, like, the remedies that other women were practicing on others and themselves? So some historical accounts describe accusers in witch trials experiencing fits, intense heat sensations and erratic behavior. And without access to sort of calming herbs or supportive communities, it's possible their symptoms added fuel to the hysteria by claiming that they had been cursed by the women who weren't experiencing those symptoms because they were brewing special teas and possibly supporting each other and things like that. And so the fact that they were experiencing symptoms and others weren't, then they were accused of witchcraft because they had been bewitched. So the whole witchcraft thing, this dangerous misunderstanding led to tens of thousands of wrongful accusations, trials and executions. So next time you hear bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, think of three menopausal women brewing herbal remedies and then just these two knuckleheads like fighting over the crown and the kingdom, and they're just there drinking their tea around their cauldron, just shaking their heads going, seen this before. History has a funny way of turning biology into myth. It also has a funny or not so funny way of vilifying women for their knowledge. Still happens today. So if you've ever been called a witch, a bitch, a hag, a slut or whatever, the problem is not you, it's them, frightened of your strength and power. So stay strong, raise your brooms. Hopefully you have a coven of like-minded sisters and remember that you are perfectly imperfect and mutant. Bye.